In these last days, the Bible predicts a turning away from biblical truth. In order to combat false teachings that are running rampant and a growing lack of biblical literacy, Behold Israel provides weekly public readings of Scripture to equip you with the pure Word of God, read in an international community with interaction and application. Each week, we host different guests from all walks of life. Original readings can be found on our Behold Israel community channel on YouTube or on our Facebook channel. These are audio versions created to make it convenient for your busy schedule. Now, on to our readings.
Shalom lekulchem. Hello to all of you. This is Pastor Mike Golay here with Public Reading of Scripture. We call it PRS for short. With us this evening, again, is Andy Mills from the Grace and Mercy Foundation. It is good to see you, my brother. Thanks for coming back. We love having you, and you are one of the leaders of Public Reading of Scripture International. You share this leadership. Can you talk about what that leadership looks like and some of the goals that you've had and what the Lord has done as a result?
Well, thank you, Mike. It's always great to be with you, and shalom to the PRS community and everybody associated with Behold Israel. What a wonderful ministry. And Amir, he's somewhere out there. We give greetings to Amir too. You know, Mike, as we've talked before, the public reading of Scripture movement, I really sense it's a movement of the Holy Spirit now to spread God's word around the world using His word, His Bible, in so many different languages, but in a different strategy, a strategy of, instead of driving people back to read only on their own, which is a hard thing to do for most people, is to read Scripture and listen to Scripture together in community, just the way we're doing here tonight. And for those of you who've been a regular PRS follower here at Behold Israel, you'll know how rich this experience is. And, you know, the Grace and Mercy Foundation is a foundation that has been leading, bringing that idea to bear, I would say, over the last 10 years. It's not our idea, it's a biblical idea. And we just feel very privileged to have been used by God to spread this concept and the strategy. And we're just delighted to see the kind of responses you and I were just talking before. There are literally tens of thousands of groups now that are doing the public reading of Scripture, churches, workplaces, families, all over the world, schools, and we're happy to see it spread. And for those of you on the call tonight, you know, I really encourage you to form, you know, think about your small group or your church and begin to listen to God's word together. And it's really a very meaningful and spiritually deepening activity that we thoroughly recommend. So thanks for that opportunity to give a little spiel there, Mike. I appreciate that.
Yeah, in fact, I'm putting up on the screen here, the actual website for PRS is prsi.org. Let's say you wanted to start a group or you wanted to give it a shot and you wanted to download the app, and all you have to do is just gather some people, download the app, and you just play the audio and you just sit. You can go for 10 minutes, you can go for 15, or as long as you want. And the blessing is it brings you together with other people. You listen to the word of God and you can discuss it as well. There's always application. And so prsi.org. Andy, just real quick before we begin, it's impossible to guesstimate how many small groups and how many people are actually doing PRS. But I don't think it would be unrealistic to say that there's probably tens of thousands of groups worldwide listening to God's word through this ministry. Would that be?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we always want to be very careful with what we say because we want to be, you know, as clear and as frank as we can be. And we just don't know, to your point. But our best guess, I mean, certainly in South America, we've got over 10,000 groups involved. And so when I think about the rest of the world, you know, we've had over 2 million downloads of our app. And by the way, the app is not the only way to get access to this, these audio drama Bibles that you hear. You can also get it through the web. So prsi.the URL you put up, you can access the Bible there. So you don't even need to have an iPhone or a Samsung phone, and you don't even have to download the app if you don't want to. You can just use your PC or your Mac and listen to Scripture that way as well.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing, especially in these last days, and especially as we are looking at the world change so fast and wars and rumors of wars, specifically Israel, the war that they are undergoing right now. Yeah. There is a lot of emotion packed into that, of course. And that's why from the beginning of the war and even till now, we're allotting a middle section of our reading, as well as the end, for all of you to pray for Israel. And all you do is you write down your prayers, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube community channel. All those prayers God sees. I will put them up on the screen, many of them, so all of us can just keep that in our mind as we read and interact with God's word. I think it's a beautiful thing that we can do. Within less than an hour, we accomplish so much. Think about it. We get community. We get to hear God's word. We get to have the Spirit of God make adjustments in our heart. We get to pray for Israel. And we are also enjoying the moment of escape from the stresses of the day where we can just relax and sit back and not have to down and read with our own eyes. I'm more of an audio type person. That's most of the books I read these days read are actually audio versions. And so, Andy, can you bless our time and just pray the Lord would use tonight reading?
Yeah, that'd be my pleasure. Let's pray, everybody. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have the ability to gather together in community like this. Thank you for the technology that allows us to do this. And we pray that the technology would continue to work well through the course of the evening. Thank you for Behold Israel, who, you know, from the moment that Amir and I and Mike and I talked about public reading of Scripture, they understood the importance and the value of it. And, you know, Scripture is such a central part of the ministry. And so I pray that you would bless our time tonight as we listen to your word, God, that you'll speak to us directly. I pray that hearts and minds would be opened to hear or be spoken to by the Holy Spirit. Maybe there are people that need to be comforted. Some people need to be challenged, others that need to be encouraged. Lord, we just give you free reign over our hearts and minds and allow us to know what you have for us through Scripture tonight. And, you know, I also pray for Behold Israel and all the work that they're doing, the Connect Project, very exciting. Would you continue to protect and guide these folks, you know, who are just doing such remarkable work around the world? And finally, Lord, of course, I pray for the hostages. I pray for the IDF forces. I pray for the citizens of Israel. And I pray for Jews all over the world, Lord. I pray for their safety and their protection. But more than that, I pray that they would turn back to you and not only turn back to God the Father, but turn back to the gospel message and turn back to Yeshua, the Messiah, and that you would work, you know, your ways through even these times of trouble, that your will would be done. And I pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we're now going into Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to close out Proverbs tonight, so that's kind of fun. And these are the words of King Lemuel, actually his mother. We don't know anything about this so-called King Lemuel. El in Hebrew, it's from two words, Lemuel, and means to God or devoted to God. And so, you know, some people actually say this is a name that Solomon used, and that in this case, if it's that's true, his mother would have been Bathsheba, ironically, that gave him this wisdom. But we don't know. We're going to break this up into two sections. I'll be reading verses 1 through 9, and then Andy will pick up from 10 to the end of the chapter. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And now to you, Andy.
Thank you, Mike. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates.
You know, I smile. Andy and I were talking before this broadcast. I'm going to open up the chat right now, and we're going to see your comments about this. But this described a lot, almost all, of my wife. And Andy and I were talking about this earlier, how God's gifted some of us with an amazing woman. And in some ways, I don't feel like I deserve it, but that's his gift. So we take it and we cherish this precious gift. Andy, this is a very powerful chapter, and it describes the ultimate wife. And what are your thoughts on some of what the Spirit of God said to you while we were reading this?
You know, I was particularly struck in the days of that we live in of social media and of, you know, appearance and skin deep kind of things. I was struck by verse 30 that said, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. There's a quality about women who know the Lord and who are content in the Lord. There's a beauty about that, a deep soul level beauty that is so attractive. And, you know, I think when I reflect on my wife, that's really, you know, how I reflect on her. And, you know, there's a lot of things that the virtuous wife does here that, you know, people do and don't do today. But this idea of beauty from within because of the knowledge and love of Jesus and reflecting that love of Jesus back to her family, her husband, her friends, I just think that's so wonderful.
You know, I couldn't help but to notice, Kim Canto, your son Josiah steps into marriage next weekend. And Proverbs 31 woman, and a lot of you will have sons and daughters and grandkids marry. This is the template, you know, if there is a marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling. I used to use this when I was a pastor full-time. I would actually read this out, and some women were smiling, others were, you know, I think I have some room for some improvement here. You know, it's always fun though. I mean, the Word of God has that ability just to cut the soul asunder, just like it says in the New Testament. So, hey, my challenge to all of you as the chat room is open to pray and to sit down and consider what the Lord is saying to you as well. So we are now going to move to two long passages. This will be John. And let's put those references up here. We're going to go to John chapter 13, and then we're going to come back after Andy reads chapter 14, and we're going to have some more insights in prayer. So let me go over there to John, and I invite you to do the same, John chapter 13. All right. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. Watch this. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Only servants did that, folks. In many cases, slaves. And Jesus chose to do it as the King of Kings. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, you were washing my feet." Do you see the cultural tension that Peter has with this whole thing? Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Because Peter has a completely different concept of Jesus in his mind. Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Now watch how he changes his opinion. Then Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." But he's starting to get it. Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." How would you like to have been Judas Iscariot? Well, we know what his outcome was. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." You see, he took all excuses away from them to not serve. As the ultimate teacher and master, he led the way. "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me." When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you is about to betray me." Folks, can you imagine the tension? Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, and Jesus said to him, "What you do quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. for some thought, because Judas had the money box that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. You know, I love the metaphor that you can derive from the literal, it was night, it was dark, and this Judas Iscariot was walking in darkness, literally, and also in his soul, something to consider. Now, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you may also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Begs the question, what if you don't have love for one another? What does that mean? Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow until you've denied me three times. Now, we're not going to leave you hanging there tonight. We're going to go right on over to John chapter 14. Andy.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. And everybody, please be encouraged by John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, and when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here.
I really believe that these are the last words of Jesus that he inputted to his disciples. Of course, there were many words after, but I believe this is kind of the last mandate. He gives the commandments. He gives them the hope of expectation. And I do believe the opening of chapter 14 is talking about taking his church in the rapture, if I'm wrong. But if you look at it very carefully, he's preparing a place for us, and he is bringing us to him, okay? And then there is a lot of eschatology in this, and he talks about how he will come back. And his one mandate from this point in history, right before the crucifixion, until the rapture, and even if you don't believe that first part is referring to the rapture, you have to admit that he will come back, as it's stated in all the Christian creeds. Our mandate is to stay close to Jesus, his word, and to love one another to the standard in which he loved us. Mm-hmm. The only way that can be possible is if we give our whole self to the Spirit of God, which he also talks about, that can live the Christian life through us and enlighten us with his word. And challenge others around us and truly love each other around us. Andy, what are your thoughts on this? And I'm going to open up the chat as you speak here.
Yeah, well, you know, just reflecting on what you've been saying, Mike, I mean, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, one of the ways that God knows that we love him is that we keep his commandments and that we want to keep his commandments. And I think, you know, that's a challenge for many people, but it's an expression of love to Jesus that we keep his commandments. I mean, he spent so much time giving his commandments. And, you know, it's very clear that if we live our lives based on his commandments, on average, things will go better for us, right? We will prosper, not necessarily in ways that, you know, sort of worldly ambitions. But, you know, we will do well as a result of that. And because this is no health, wealth gospel I'm talking about. But you see it in Deuteronomy, right? That you have choices between life and death, agreeing and following God or not following God. And if you follow God, things on average will go better for you. And so that I love this, keeping your commandments. And that's how you demonstrate your love to the Lord. And then, of course, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, Christian faith is an exclusive faith. It claims to be exclusive. You know, if there were many ways to God, you know, to be brought into relationship with God, then why would Christ have to die on the cross? It would be a very cruel thing for God the Father to do, to have his son die a death on the cross if there were many ways to come to a saving knowledge of God. And so, you know, to me, this is another of those seminal passages that helps us understand the exclusivity of the Christian faith and the need to have faith in Jesus Christ for salvation.
It's funny you mentioned that, Andy. Today, when I was in Denver, I flew from Denver to Minneapolis earlier today, and the Lyft driver was a what I call recovering Mormon. He had exited the Mormon church, and that's what he said. He said that if there was another way other than Jesus, we could have worked our way, we could have tallied up all of our good and righteous deeds, we could have earned our favor before God. And he said that was the main premise that was constantly before him as he was a Mormon. He did missionary work, he was on the top, and he found himself wanting more of God, and he felt so disillusioned because so-called righteous acts weren't enough. And he looked at Islam, he looked at Judaism, he looked at other religions, and essentially it was the same thing. It was the pride of man that accomplished great and mighty righteous deeds that defined their status before God. And there was nothing unique about it. Whereas here we read, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And you must have me in your life. And that is the key. I'm looking at all of these comments as well. It seems like the Spirit of God is speaking to many of you. It's always a risk when I put these up here. Sometimes the comments are a little bit different, shall we say, maybe some nonsensical. But I love how each of you have the Spirit of God in you speaking to you, and also that you can write down your prayers for Israel. And Andy, I wonder if we could just pause briefly after what we've just read, and if we could just ask you just to pray again for Israel in the light of the context of what we've just read in terms of Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. There's a lot of blind eyes in Israel, a lot of people that are seeking in the wrong places, assuming that these places that they're seeking will give them some form of life or truth. And it's disappointing, just as it was disappointing to you and me before we came to faith as well. So write down your prayers. Andy, lead us in prayer. And then I'm going to have a few announcements before we close out our broadcast.
Thank you, Mike.
Let's go to prayer.
Father, it's so wonderful to come together as brothers and sisters to pray to you. And we know that in Scripture, you tell us we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. And so that is what we do at this moment. And Lord, our thoughts and our prayers are for the nation of Israel, for the chosen people, your chosen people. You know, they are the people of the law of Moses, which they still in some ways stick by. I mean, many of them have become so secular that they've moved away from religion of any kind, particularly from Judaism, and are now, you know, seduced into modern philosophies, as Colossians 2:8 tells us, to be aware of these modern philosophies that depend on, you know, human and spirit and things of the air and not on Christ. And so they are very lost. And even those that are very religious Jews, you know, still are based on the law and the commandments from the laws and a lot of practice and a lot of legalism. And, you know, unfortunately, although the Messiah is prophesied throughout the Old Testament, and indeed, Amir himself came to know Christ as Savior because of the Old Testament, they do not see it. They are blinded. And Lord, I just pray, it must be so painful to you to see your nation. And you've seen it so many times in history. If we look at the Old Testament, so many times that the nation of Israel wandered away from you, kings that did not follow your leading and did evil. And so many times that you had to bring judgment against that nation. And Lord, I don't know what it is that you're doing in Israel right now, but it is certainly a wake-up call. You're certainly calling on them to trust you, to come back to you, to move away from trusting in armies and politicians and foreign countries, but to come back to the Scriptures and to come back to trust God. And I pray, Lord, that there would be a strong movement all over the world, for Jews all over the world, to come back and re-examine their faith in the Old Testament. And then, Lord, through the Old Testament, I pray that they would visit and see you. And through the Old Testament, that they would come to see who the Messiah is and was in history, and that they would be saved with the gospel. You know, there are so many blockages to that, so many things to get in the way, so many worries and so many trials and tribulations. But Lord, Would you speak to your people? Would you bring them back to you? Would they repent, pray to you, ask for repentance and forgiveness? And Lord, I just pray for a restored Israel that loves God, that loves Jesus. And I pray for all of us as Christians that at this time, you know, we would pray continually for the nation of Israel, for our Jewish friends, for you, for your work and that which you're doing in the Middle East. And this will be a time for us to come alongside Jews that we know and love them and express our love to them. They feel lonely and afraid at this point. So this is time for Christians to stand up and stand alongside our brothers. So, Lord, I pray these things, not knowing, of course, what you're going to be doing in the short term, but knowing exactly what you're going to be doing long term. And that is our hope, of course, the hope of eternity and the hope of the message of the book of the Revelation. So, Lord, we thank you for all of that. Thank you for so many precious people on this call tonight. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Just an announcement, my friends. We have an October cruise. And we're asking you to consider this as a break. Take a break with us. Come and meet Pastor Barry Stagner and Amir. We'll have our board there, and I'll be there. Jason Comans will be there. And we're going to be teaching through, that's Barry and Amir will be teaching through Daniel and Revelation, the whole book, both of them. So that's a tool in your toolkit to consider. Also, if you're not on Amir's Telegram, you know, you need to freeze the screen after this goes off live and forward this on to people. You have no idea how many people right now are following Amir's Telegram channel, and they actually view it as one of the only, some of them will even say it's the only credible news outlet that's coming out of Israel right now, reporting on all the details. It's a plethora of information that is coming from valid sources, and it's an indispensable tool in your toolkit if you want to understand exactly what's going on in a very comprehensive manner, not only the Middle East, but all over the world, and how it's connected to Bible prophecy. So I plead with you to scan that QR code and utilize this tool on the app of Telegram. And with that being said, Andy, I want to thank you. And again, I want to commend or recommend to all of you prsi.org. Take advantage of the tools on this website. Andy and his team have worked hard to give that to you for free. And God is using it with small groups that are just simply listening to God's word all over the world. So I want to thank you, Andy, for joining us. Thank you for every viewer that came and interacted with us this evening. And we'll close with the Aaronic blessing tonight. And I think it's appropriate, as we always do, just to hold out our hands and just receive this. Yivarecha Adonai ve'yishmerecha, Ya'el Adonai panav elecha ve'yihulecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And it's his peace that we go in right now over the span of this week. Come back next week as we open up a brand new Old Testament book. Do you think I'm going to tell you what it is right now? No, because I want to keep you in suspense. Keep it as a surprise. And then we will continue in the Gospel of John. Andy, any final words before we depart?
Well, Michael, I want to say that, you know, Amir and you were two people who, as soon as I started talking about the public reading of Scripture, because of the importance of Scripture in your lives and in your ministry, just got it straight away. And so I just want to say thank you for the service that you do for all of us in producing these things. It's not easy to do it every week and be online every week. And so I just want to thank you, Mike, for your work and appreciate everybody online in our PRS family, and please continue to invite more people. If you're enjoying this, and if this is valuable to you, then it's going to be valued to a lot more people. So please invite more people to come. God's word is for everybody, and this is a great way to experience it.
Amen. Amen. So we'll say to all of you, shalom, shalom, shalom ul hitraot, we say in Hebrew. peace or goodbye, and we will see you next week.